The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
14th in the table, another poor show at Aston Villa yesterday. Erik ten Hag, though, insists he has the backing of Manchester United, but there's no doubt the pressure is mounting as we head into the international break. Now, to review that game and the rest of the weekend sport, I'm joined by Ger Gilroy, presenter with Off the Ball. Ger, good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Now, I thought it was going to be a 4 o'clock game, went for a walk with the dog, came home, game over.
You missed nothing. Literally nothing. It finished nil all, and there was one reasonable chance for Villa where Philogene hit Diego Dalo in his back, and that was about as exciting as it got. Marcus Rashford probably should have been sent off, got a booking, and then 2 minutes later throws a leg at one of the Villa attackers, and any other circumstance, every other player would have been booked for it. Referee came over and had a chat with him and didn't book him, and it really felt like Rashford was actually trying to get sent off, which would suggest that all is not well with Manchester United at the moment.
Now, is Ten Hag safe during the international break, or do you think this is the moment?
I don't think this is the moment. And the main reason I don't think this is the moment is that you've got to find a replacement manager. Now, they do have Ruud van Nistelrooy on the coaching staff at the moment who could easily step into that role, and it would be relatively seamless until, as an interim appointment, until they find somebody else.
But I mean, what's his track record as an assistant coach anywhere?
He's been a reasonable manager at a reasonable level in the Dutch league. They've just got like one of the best managers in the Dutch league who reached the Champions League semi-final, and he's been unsuccessful. Now, he doesn't have the shield that Van Nistelrooy would have as a beloved club figure.
Yeah.
That didn't do Ole Gunnar Solskjaer any good on the field. It helped him stay in the job a bit longer than he probably should have because he was overmatched. I don't think they're going to sack him just now because they only gave him an extra time on his deal in the summer. And it's very embarrassing if this early, 7 games into the league season, you're like, oh, we made a mistake.
Yeah, 14th in the table. A handful of points.
Stats aren't good. But who does it reflect on? I guess there would be a storm until they appointed somebody, and maybe they could appoint a club legend and they would say, look, we're moving in the right direction here. That was the previous administration's decision to give him the job in the first place. We were just, you know, buying some time. We've had that time and we'll get rid of him. So there is a meeting tomorrow where David Brailsford will present to INEOS the findings of what they're doing at the moment. But it's a scheduled meeting.
Is there any intelligence coming out about Van Nistelrooy and how he's doing?
Well, not specifically, but certainly he is very present. He's up and about on the sidelines. He is in conversation with Ten Hag. It's hard to know what that relationship is like. Yeah. I guess, you know, you wouldn't have him there if you weren't comfortable as the manager, and you surely have enough power as the manager to pick who you want. So you have to assume he's relatively comfortable with him and knows that the writing will be on the wall if things deteriorate any further. There is a case that actually they've righted the ship somewhat in the league.
The predictions, you predicted that Manchester United would actually win. I heard you say that on Friday on the Hard Shoulder. But a draw, if you look at it just as a result and not the quality of the game, that they'd be quite happy with that, really.
Their record against Villa is actually very good. They tend to win games against Aston Villa, and that was kind of the...
But Villa's form versus their form.
Yeah. I did think that Villa would, after the Champions League, it's such an emotional moment for the club to beat Bayern Munich, that there's automatically going to be a bit of a come down, and they had some injury problems as well. Brent Pope always had that great phrase, never give a sucker an even break, and it felt like yesterday Villa didn't have the killer instinct to do that, to actually just batter a team who they were so clearly superior to. The XG was the lowest of every Premier League game so far this season. It was literally the worst game in terms of excitement. So I think there was a bit of a letdown from Villa's perspective and maybe a missed opportunity for them. But
And then we had an exciting game in Spurs.
Oh, sensational. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm a big Ange Postecoglou fan. I get slagged off by colleagues and listeners a lot. But you want to feel alive as a sports fan, right? Mm. You want your team to go out and die with their boots on. You want to be enthusiastic about life. I'd much rather be a Spurs fan than a Man United fan right now with Ange as my manager. 2-0 at halftime, you're thinking, right, he's turned a corner, everything's going great. They just hammered Man United, and then it finishes 3-2 and he's off saying it's the worst performance he's ever seen from this group of players. And giving it to the players publicly, which is kind of risky for managers because that can go one of two ways. A pampered millionaire footballer is not used to people calling them out on their BS, and here he is doing it publicly, so we'll see how that ends up.
Chelsea drawing against Notts Forest, that's a surprise.
It is a surprise, but actually Forest away form is pretty good. They beat Liverpool, and they have something there. There's a stickiness about them. I really rate this Chelsea manager, and I think he's done, under very trying circumstances, a good job narrowing the playing base to a workable amount. There's still loads of players who are on the outside looking in, and they have to find some way of realising some financial value, but that's not his job. His job is to make the team competitive. And if you take the start that they had last season and the start they've had this season, it's chalk and cheese. It looks like they have a style of play. It looks like they have an identity. They finished last season relatively strongly. There's a brilliant core group of very young players. And I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they were to go on a run later in the year where they win 7, 8, 9, 10 games in a row and at least are comfortably fourth and getting Champions League football next season, which is really what the owners there
and then
want.
Liverpool quietly doing the business 1-0 against Palace
on a Saturday morning at a 12:30 kickoff on used to be BT Sport. He would always complain about it afterwards. Slot is a very different camera fella, and look, they were relatively fortuitous that Palace had a chance late in the game that they didn't take. Quevin Kelleher didn't get on, but Alisson went off injured. Kelleher has joined up with the Ireland squad, so it looks like Kelleher's going to play the next 4 or 5 games for Liverpool. Big games now coming up. Those games in the Champions League are going to matter. There's big games for them in
Kelleher.
Premier League. It's great, yeah.
I mean, he's in the shop window, but they won't let him go.
I think it looks like this is the end. This is the last season. They've signed that Georgian keeper from Spain, who is still in Spain, but will join up at the end of the year. So it's a great time for him to get now, because budgets are being done for next year, plans are being made, and I think people will be ringing Liverpool saying, we'll buy him in the summer from you, what's the price?
Now, has Damien Duff-Shelburne blown it now?
It looks like that for all the world, and yet they have 3 games left.
Mathematically.
They have 3 games left. If they win those 3 games, they will be crowned champions, and 2 of the games are very winnable. They're at home against teams who have not that much left to play for. The final game is against Derry, at Derry. Derry, equally, if they win all their games, will also be champions. So, look, at least you want a title race. We've got one. We've got very compelling characters in Damien Duff. Stephen Kenny St. Pat's not entirely out of it mathematically either. But certainly will have room to have a say, because they've got to play Derry as well. So I think if Duff was able to win the league from here, the team are essentially in free fall, 1 win in 10 games. Their best player ended up being plucked away from them back to his parent club in the Will Jarvis, who was scoring all their goals, and they haven't scored many goals. I think 2 games this season they've scored 2 goals in a match. So look, if they were to be able to wrestle it back after being beaten 2-0 last night, it would be fairly sensational. You've got to make Derry and Rovers favourites.
Okay, in the URC, Ulster defeated 47-21, but the other provinces won.
Yeah, so Ulster had a tough time down in South Africa, and really this week was all about making sure that next week Leinster and Munster have all of their best players fit and ready to go. Leinster picked the strongest team that they've sent to Benetton probably ever, and it looked like their first team. Frawley got the nod at 10, which you would assume means he's going to get the nod at 10 this week from Leinster's perspective. 70,000 tickets sold for Croke Park. It's going to be an incredible occasion. You know, I think Leinster might have sold more tickets in Croke Park this year than the Dubs, maybe, which, you know, it's an interesting little wrinkle to what's going on here.
Of course, they'll have the special buses going across from the south side
to
Croke Park. And Connacht edged out the very tight game.
Connacht are brilliant at the moment. Brilliant to watch and really exciting. And they've got Kyle Ford, who we thought was maybe going to go out of the team when Bundy Aki came back. But he stayed in the team and ended up moving into 10. And he's kicking penalties to win the game at the end. So they're going to be the ones who are the most exciting to watch this year from an Irish perspective.
Great stuff. Ger, thank you very much for joining us. That's Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.